guy put it to me very clearly. He said, I have a bottle of water in front of me. It's Fiji water. And if I was holding that bottle of water, you could see the word Fiji. And I may just see the wonderful, lovely, beautiful islands and all the pictures on the back. He said, in order for us to really, really get to the crux of it, you would have to come over to where I am standing so that you see it from the same perspective I do.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Because Adulting is Hard podcast. I'm Alita, and this is Dr. Jana Miles. And I am super excited to be talking about, we're going to talk about leadership, but we are actually going to go ahead and dive in and start off right out of the gate and talk about racism. Let me give you a little bit of background about Dana before we get into all of this. You are currently the principal at Junior High West in Pearland, but we've come a long ways together, and you actually have a very interesting background, so I'd like you to go and give us that at the beginning.
Sure. Well, my history started a long time ago, but initially I was graduated valedictorian in my high school class. That was already a unique setup because...
Where'd you grow up at?
Pasquistan, Mississippi.
Okay.
Between Pasquistan and Los Angeles, California. So it was like back and forth.
Top of your class.
And it was inconsistent. I mean, part of that is just how things happen. And from there, moved from Los Angeles and finished high school in Pasquistan.
Okay.
Graduated and in 10th grade took the ASVAB and decided that I was tired of being a mother to my brothers and sisters and working hard and all those things we have to do as young adults.
Right.
And from that point decided I'm not going to waste time. The easiest thing I could do is join the Army. It won't be wasted time. I can serve my country, earn money for college, do all those things. They'll take care of me, give me food, clothing, and shelter. I knew I would be taken care of. Joined the Army, left 3 years, did my tour of duty, wound up in Germany, spent some time there.
Oh, wow. Where in Germany?
Frankfurt.
Okay.
And
we lived in Rhein-Main and Frankfurt.
A multi-channel communications equipment operator. So okay. It was like high tech, top secret security, wonderful, lovely stuff. I enjoyed it. It was a good time.
And you did it for 3 years?
I did that for 3 years. Okay. And then transitioned back home and started college. So from there, went through a couple years of college, finished like 2.5 years, and then in school, in the reserves, mobilized for Desert Storm.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that was the pivot that changed my life. Sitting in the middle of the desert, reading hundreds of letters that children had been writing from schools, thanking us for serving, thanking us for being, you know, sacrificing our lives and doing all those things. Read those letters and right then just changed my entire trajectory. I was in school studying to be an accountant.
Really?
Because I'm good with numbers, math, physics, science, all that. That's really the
right,
way my brain
okay. yes.
works.
I can see that.
Yeah,
that's
the way my brain works. And so I just figured I could make a lot of money. I would be an accountant. That would be awesome. But sitting in the middle of that desert train just changed my world. And I realized that I could be a teacher. Mm-hmm. And that's what started it. And then that's what grounded me. Moved back home, finished school, went straight from undergraduate into my master's, finished them both back to back. And from there, transitioned to Texas in 2003, right before a huge hurricane. Started my life, got married, 3 children later, schools later. Here I am now at West serving as a principal.
And we started out together teaching at Rogers Middle School together. You had come in with an administrative experience that I had not had. And so I looked up to you from the very beginning because like I was telling Garrett, I said, just very calm, very grounded. I was like, wow, that's a very different type of leadership that I had not seen. And so that's one of the things that's important to me is to surround myself by people that have skill sets that are greater than mine. Mm-hmm. So I have to say, as we get into this,
right.
One of the reasons why I wanted to have you on was we were going to talk about general leadership, but
sure.
I just want to go ahead and talk about
sure.
the elephant that's in the room, as yep. Garrett called it. What is it about, let's go ahead and talk about racism and let's talk about being a black female leader in this day and time, and what it took above and beyond to get in the positions that you're in. So let's start there.
Well, I think the core of this conversation that's going on all over the world is, what is it that we really view from the inside out? It really starts from where you are on the inside. So to me, leading as a black female in this time of racism and all this stuff that's just evading our world, I think you have to, first of all, decide in your mind who you are, what you're about, and what it is that keeps us functionally moving in the world, period. And I think once you can do that, it's going to either determine where you are on the racism seesaw or where you're not.
I mean, there's going to be some self-evaluation that has to happen.
Because it has to happen. And I think, to me, we are dealing with a lot of prejudices that may or may not be racist. So it's hard to separate those two words, but I think if you view it as, to me, when I think of racism, I think of a person who cannot view a person, another person, regardless for whatever the belief is, as a human being.
It's the devaluation of human life.
So when you view that person as not a person or not valuable enough, it justifies that you can treat them however you want.
Right.
So that, to me, is the piece that switches it. So I think a lot of people that are in this struggle right now are not truly racist. I think they may have some prejudices or some implicit biases that kind of govern how they act.
Well, let's talk about that word. So you just talked about that. So I know that you're doing like a cultural, can you give me the title of it that you're doing right now in the district?
I am part of a culturally responsive council. And
And that is in schools. Again, I mean, I worked in Pearland for a long time, so I'm impressed with Dr. Kelly's innovativeness. That's a bold move to come right out of the gate and make. So he's acknowledging that there's an issue, and now we're going to look at it. So what you mentioned before, that you actually took a Harvard
implicit bias. It's a screener.
Okay.
It's open to anyone.
So Harvard implicit bias screener. Mm-hmm. And what did that do? What does that do?
Well, it's the way this is set up. It's actually research. So they're smart. What Harvard is doing is they open this portal so anyone can take
it. We'll put that link on this. We'll put that. Yes. We'll go find that link and we'll
what
put it on here.
You can do it for gender bias, race bias, whatever you plug in. And it, you have to have a laptop, because what it does is it forces you to kind of make connections.
Okay.
So in my case, I had our council, we had a meeting, and I asked everyone to do that test. And when we finished it, I didn't need to know the results. The results were not for me. It was for them. It was for you.
Right.
So you, because in order to deal with it, you got to first admit there may be something that's predisposing me to either look at a race differently, look at my own race, showing favoritism over people because of what's inside. Now, that's not bad.
Right.
But knowing allows you to move. And if you don't know, when you're stressed out, what my study in implicit bias says is, when you are stressed, when you're multitasking, when you have lots of things to do, it is the implicit biases that take over, and that's what governs your actions.
So
it's huge, right? But this screener,
that is a huge thing, because a lot of it, we talked about this, is having a self-reflecting and knowing what your personal beliefs are. For me, having a deep-rooted faith, and knowing that, I mean, we've been singing all the children, you know, Jesus loves the little children of the world forever, but really having conversations. And for me, with teenagers, having conversations and turning around and having words when I hear something that comes out of their mouth that I'm like, whoa, we need to have a conversation about that, because I don't even think that you know the bias that was built into the conversation that you or the words that you just said, because they don't know what they don't know. They don't even know.
And it looks different for families.
It does. It looks different. I mean, that was one of the things I wanted to ask you. As I'm obviously not a black woman or a black mother, what are the things that I can do to make sure that I am, I'm obviously doing step one, I'm self-reflecting and I'm making sure that I have in check all of the things that I control. But what are the things that I can do to continue this conversation? What are the things that you think are important when having this conversation?
And I have many in my home. I mean, most people look at me and I have this conversation with my husband. So this is a little piece of the racism offshoot, but my husband is a dark man and my children, and I'm fair skinned, and my children are like a blended mix. So there's certain things that I think I have to be bold enough to say to them that you may not have to tell your children, but they still need to be aware that these are the kind of conversations that I have to have. For one example is my dog. I have a Boston Terrier.
Okay.
She escaped through my little hole, dug a hole and got out. Well, we know where she goes because she likes the other dog that's a couple houses down. So I told my son, I said, Lance, walk over to Miss Chris and get Mocha. So he makes his way over and my husband, he said, well, send Lance over there. So as he's walking, he put on a hoodie, had the hood over his head, and my husband at the same time was coming around the corner and saw him walk up to this door and knocking on the door with the hood on his head. That in itself sparked a huge conversation in my house that we then just helped us continue along these conversations. So, you know, those kind of things to me help bridge the gap with families because they don't understand how that was a problem for me and may not be for you.
So can you go ahead and say the one? So what did that conversation look like with him?
Well, my husband told him, you are a little African-American boy. Mm-hmm. You are walking up to a home where you have no idea who lives there. You don't know how they're going to take you and whether your intentions are good or bad. It could be a conception or a understanding that you were there to cause harm.
And that is not a conversation I'm having with my little,
I'm not having that conversation with
my white kid over here. I'm not having, now we might have a conversation about hoodies in public. You know, it's not a good idea to have your hood up in public in general. I mean, it's just unless it's cold and you're being active, but correct. I mean, for the fact that your son and my son are exactly the same age and I would never have that conversation with my son, that's a problem, Dana Miles. That's a problem that we have to explain to our children.
But I think if they understand, because see the thing, this guy put it to me very clearly. He said, I have a bottle of water in front of me. It's Fiji water. Mm-hmm. And if I was holding that bottle of water, you could see the word Fiji. And I may just see the wonderful, lovely, beautiful islands and all the pictures on the back. He said, in order for us to really, really get to the crux of it, you would have to come over to where I am standing so that you see it from the same perspective I do.
Right.
So I think those are the conversations that we have to have, that people have to be able to put themselves in a different perspective. And then doing that, There comes some understanding.
The fact that that you, as part of driver's education, and as part of driver's education with my head, that you're having a conversation about your son, to your son, that if you get pulled over, son, these are the things that you must do in correct. Order to protect your, regardless, I am not, those are not the conversations I'm having with my child who, and that is a problem. Right. We need to continue. It, like you said, it's reversing the perspective and seeing it for what it is. And in school leadership, we've been doing that a long time. Mm-hmm. We've kind of I want to say that maybe I don't want to bash the system. I don't want to bash the system, but in education, we've been addressing this for a long time because we've been looking at kids and we've been saying there's a disparity in opportunity that is provided from very get-go based on opportunity,
needs,
all needs across whatever the variance is. So I think that we talked about in your journey through education from the very beginning, you had a list of three things that are kind of core values to you that are things that you talk about with your children and that you talk about. And I think that tying them into how as a person that is wanting to address the racial injustice that we have here. This feeds well into that.
Sure.
So talk to me a little bit about those 3Ds.
Well, I used to be, my old motivational title was Colonel 3D. So, and this is when I lived in New Orleans, Louisiana, and traveled with another soldier. And we did motivational speaking in schools to kids everywhere. And that's where I kind of had to self-reflect and said, what is it? What are my core values that will be game changers for me, no matter what I look like, no matter where I am, no matter what I have to do? What are these core values that I have that I can impart to these children who are looking at me? Mm-hmm. Because it's hard to be what you can't see. So I believe my role as a leader and those things was to be able to portray that to them. So the first to me was diligence. Whatever I committed to this from a young kid, as I was a mother to my brothers and sisters, whatever I was asked to do, I had to do it to the best of my ability.
Right.
Period. If I had homework, I did it the best I could. I wasn't going to half do it, because if I half did it, then the product would not be worth, and it wouldn't be worthy of who I was. So that was my first D, was diligence. No matter what you do it to the best of your ability. You don't have to, you don't second guess it. You don't kind of cut corners, because you are never going to get the right product, period. Okay. The next was a determination. It's the stick to it power.
Okay.
It's easy to give up and burn out and say, you know what, I'm just going to take the easy road and expect handouts. In my role as a leader, and as my role as an African American woman, Black woman, I'm not expecting anything that I'm not willing to stick to and put forth a lot of effort to get there.
Correct.
I believe what you get is what you give. You got to push. You got to keep striving. You got to strain for the end, because there's a prize at the end.
But
you
got
to stick to it. But you got to stick to it.
Okay.
And I think the most important, and I always spend a lot of time talking about this with my kids, even at school when they get in trouble, my own children, mm-hmm. as well as my kids in the campus, is discipline. I learned it at a very young age, but I really mastered this whole understanding that it is what I do when no one is watching that is going to determine where I go. Because there's always eyes on you, whether we want to admit it or not, because at the end of the day, you got to be accountable to someone. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not accountable to someone, you'll fall for anything and you'll just do whatever you want. So the accountability and that discipline piece to me says, when no physical eyes are on me, I'm still going to do the right thing. And I grounded that so easily, even in Halloween. Don't walk by a bucket. If it says take one, take one. I've had to talk to my own kids. Oh, they have the good big kid. No.
Take the whole bucket.
It says one.
Right.
So, and it's what you do when nobody's looking. So to me, to kind of tie those together, to me, those 3 Ds, mm-hmm. diligence, determination, and discipline, and connecting those, because what that forces a person to do is to have their head, which is your brain, your logical reasoning center, and your heart, which is your emotions, where your religion is, where your faith is. If your head and your heart work together, you can do anything.
It's
got to be a balance. If your head is working and your heart isn't, you're doing the wrong thing.
And if you're looking at this scenario and you're looking at racism and you're not saying your head and your heart are not in the same place, that you cannot look at this situation and you cannot say that for our children, that if you have your head and your heart in the same place, that anything about this is a correct way that it should be
right,
going.
Right.
And that it's not something that we need to address for our future generation's sake. It's absolutely.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's a fundamental part of changing our children's
future
and the way that everybody that your child shouldn't have a different scenario of situations that they're worrying about based solely on their skin color.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely a way that we got to do it differently. We're going to do this again. We're going to do growth mindset, because she's done a whole doctorate on that. So it's fascinating to me, because I like to surround myself by people that know more than I do. And you definitely know more, and you teach me things every time we're together. So
we learn together.
We learn together. That's in a thing. So I appreciate you. And this is, Because Adulting is Hard, or Because Adulting is Hard podcast, we will put the links there because I would like them to take that bias screening for you, for us, all of us right. in general, because I think it's a good self-reflecting tool. And we will see you next time and yes. live happier because Adulting too. Is Hard. Thanks,
Thank you.
Dana.
Thank you.